it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Second hour is here. Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow here at outkick.com/watch. Glad you're with us. Chad, YouTube is where you can find us post-show for all the clips, highlights, and more. Just search out Outkick. Subscribe there. Plenty of other news and notes coming up, but we tend to only pay attention to NIL legislation discussion if it's coming from Capitol Hill.
Because that's where the NCAA and different schools, they're going to help. They're trying to get help from Capitol Hill.
Trying.
So that's where we pay attention to the stories when it's coming from Capitol Hill.
The Benefits for Athletes and Limit Liability Act, the BALL Act, introduced by Congressman Russell Fry out of South Carolina, who joins us now on Hot Mic. Congressman, thank you for the time.
Good to be here, guys.
We need... You want a federal standard. Federal standard or blank for the NCAA as we know it.
Yeah, look, prior to serving in Congress, I was in the State House, and we did NIL legislation in South Carolina many years ago, as other states have. And quite frankly, it's been a hodgepodge. They've had to suspend the rules every year at the state levels. And so what we're hearing from the universities, what we're hearing from people who really care about college sports, is that there needs to be a federal standard. This bill is perfect because colleges, universities, conferences, the NCAA itself need the ability to kind of formulate the rules in which everyone is going to govern. But quite frankly, we're seeing a myriad of lawsuits all over the place against universities, against conferences. This seeks to stop that. This is a part of a broader discussion on NIL generally, but this bill is just about the liability portion so that we can stop these lawsuits that are happening all across our country.
How much is this compared to other bills that we've discussed, a compromise of sorts between both sides of it? The guardrails, plenty have been thrown out there. What's been introduced today that helps the NCAA come more towards federal legislation, but also the players and everyone else on the other side, they end up getting their part too?
Well, this is just about the liability portion that universities face. I think there's a broader discussion. There will be some other bills that other members will file in that, because I think the idea here and the reality is that there needs to be a federal approach to this. You need uniform standards across the country. But one of the biggest things that I'm hearing from colleges, universities, athletic departments, coaches even, is that they're really worried, from big schools in the SEC all the way down to smaller conferences, they're really worried about whether or not they're going to cease to exist, because they, you know, one lawsuit has discussion on whether their student athletes would be unionized. Some of them are about the employee status or the right to take stipends after the fact. So there's a lot of things going on in this space. And the concern from really every athletic department that I've talked to thus far is, are college sports going to cease to exist because of these lawsuits?
You know, I think there's three different pots to look at when we're talking about the future of college sports. There's the colleges themselves, the universities, the athletic departments. There's the players that play the sports and what they want. And there's the sports as a whole and the fans that want to watch those sports, that I think is almost a separate one. How much do you feel like the government, Congress, whoever's getting involved, has to serve as kind of a moderator between those three different units of it? How much of it are you an advocate, in this case, kind of an advocate for the schools to not lose out on other sports and the liability for them? But what do you see your role in all of this in terms of determining a better future for college sports?
Well, great question. Look, as a conservative, I view our role as a limited one, but one which it allows the universities, the conferences, the players, and the NCAA to kind of formulate the rules in which they're going to govern. We can't do that when there are class action lawsuits flowing from really all parts of the country. And so it is really important that you provide that oxygen, if you will, so that these discussions at the university level with the players, with the conferences and, of course, within college sports generally, that you allow that to happen. And so this safe harbor, if you will, is a component of that. There are other members that will propose other things, other guardrails, if you will, or maybe a framework. But at the end of the day, what I would like to see are college sports get back to governing themselves and Congress have a loose framework that allows them to do that.
I'm sure you've been following the news that the NCAA and the major college conferences are considering a possible settlement of $2.9 billion that could cost each major conference $30 million each year for 10 years. On the surface level, it sounds crippling. Is this an idea? What you're presenting, is this to prevent this from happening year to year with all the different lawsuits? Meaning, if this passes, it's not retroactive?
Well, it would stop a lot of this stuff from going on. And I think that's really important. And the concern that I have is you talked about the billions of dollars in a possible settlement. What are schools that are really small with small athletic departments going to do? Heck, even big ones. That's such a big undertaking. And if we're worried about, you know, having school, you know, sports other than football, baseball, basketball, what is it going to do to these schools that have track and field or any number of other smaller sports that are very or vitally important to the collegiate experience? They're going to cease to have these programs at their schools because they can no longer afford them. They're going to have the more profitable programs. And these settlements actually endanger that, in my mind, endanger college sports generally. And so it's really important to have that oxygen in the room, to have the ability to put this behind us, let universities, conferences, players, and the NCAA create their own framework and go about the business of college sports. We all love it. We all love watching it on Saturdays or whatever day you want to watch basketball or baseball. But you're not going to have these programs. You're not going to have these athletic departments if they're hamstrung in litigation all the time.
Let's hypothetically say that this bill works and that the lawsuits stop and the liability, they're protected, the universities, from these different lawsuits. So then my question is what's next? And if we go into this thing, and I'm going back to the three-pot analogy again, and we're giving the athletes what they deserve with the money they generate, and all that money is going to football players and basketball players, Congressman, do you fear that other sports, women's sports, other men's sports that don't make money will eventually evaporate from colleges when we get to that next level?
No, I think federal law, you know, somewhat already prohibits that. You've got to have different sports, even the ones that are not profitable per se, to enhance that. I think that's all under Title IX. And so I don't think that those are going to go away. What I do think that this does is provide that protection. I think the NCAA years ago was way too restrictive, that players couldn't profit on their talent. But the pendulum, of course, when you talk to heck even players, but coaches and universities now, the pendulum has swung the complete opposite direction. And you have really right now chaos within the system in itself. Schools are doing different things. Conferences are doing different things. And of course, there's litigation really everywhere on every aspect of collegiate sports. And so it's really important to get some ground rules in place, and the NCAA and the conferences and the universities and the players, most importantly, can figure that out without the threat of endless lawsuits that would bankrupt these schools' athletic departments.
If you're able to limit the liability of these lawsuits, in your dealings with the leadership of college athletics, is the leadership structure there to actually move forward into a solution, or is it with rules unenforceable as they are? Where are we headed right now?
Well, I think the biggest thing is you got to have that room for discussion. You can't really have that if you propose a rule and then it's slapped by some attorney general somewhere, or there's a class action in another state that impacts your state miles away. You're not ever able to have that leadership that or those discussions that would come up with this framework. You're going to continue to have the chaos that we see right now in college sports.
Is this a bipartisan bill, meaning do you have the support of both sides of the aisle?
Well, I think right now we're collecting co-sponsors today, so we have a few that have jumped on. I don't have that list readily in front of me, but we are talking to Democrats, we're talking to Republicans, we're talking to people who just care about college sports. To me, this isn't a partisan issue. It is one that everyone enjoys going to a Saturday Carolina game or an LSU game or whatever they want to go to. This is a nonpartisan issue as far as I'm concerned. So we are going to be talking to both sides of the aisle to try to solicit their support.
What is it? What is this like from the NCAA perspective of, is this a daily occurrence that you're having conversations like this with the NCAA? What's the communication been like and their reaction to the bill?
Well, the big thing, you know, and I won't speak for them, but the big thing, I've had lots of discussions with my alma mater, University of South Carolina. They're supportive of the bill. It sounds like a lot of the college the players themselves are. You've got smaller schools like Coastal Carolina, which is in my district. They're supportive of it. So we're having these discussions ongoing, and the sentiment overwhelmingly that we've seen so far is positive, that they recognize that they need this space and that they want the broader collective ability to be able to govern and to work with student athletes and the conferences to kind of shape the way college sports is and make sure that people get a fair shake when they're giving their talent to a university. I think that's also critically important.
Are you optimistic or pessimistic about the overall future of college sports, where we stand right now?
Well, I'm optimistic because I think people enjoy it. So they want to fix it from the fans that you talked about, most importantly. But college players want, you know, a sure footing. They don't want legal landscape changing all the time or new rules from month to month. So I'm optimistic that people generally want to see some fixes to that. And the best way to do that is to empower these colleges, players and conferences to govern themselves and to create rules in which they all live under. You see this in the NFL, you see this under other professional sports where there are really guidelines or guardrails that protect all entities involved.
And you mentioned South Carolina, the alma mater. What do you make of Spencer Rattler in the NFL?
Well, I'm excited for him. He was a heck of a warrior for us this year and the last couple of years. So I'm optimistic about his future, and I look forward to seeing him play on Sundays.
Yeah, he's got a chance to develop down in New Orleans.
Yeah,
for sure.
Not a bad spot at all for him.
Congressman,
well,
good
he's
luck. Go ahead, sorry.
Well, he's definitely used to the weather, that's for sure. So yeah, he'll be well suited in New Orleans.
Good luck with this. We've had Senator Tuberville on with his efforts with this too. I'm sure you've talked with him.
Absolutely. And there's a little, I mean, he's obviously seen it firsthand as a coach. And so, you know, he's got a lot of institutional knowledge on what we need to do to fix it.
Well, he would say, man, this is different than coaching.
Yeah.
This is way tougher. So we say good luck in the nicest way possible with this, because as college football fans, college sports fans, we want guardrails up, because on a daily basis, we're talking about who's leading instead of what the rules are.
Yeah, I think everybody, even coaches and everyone, they want it to be fair, right? They want to know what they can do, what they should do, and for it to be fair across the board. And that's what we want out of our sports, why we love it.
Absolutely. And that's the weird thing right now. I remember when we passed this NIL legislation at the state level, we were all excited about it. All the universities within the state were excited. I think Florida had done it, Georgia, other states. And for us in South Carolina, and I think other states, they suspended every year. And so it's weird to have this legal framework in existence, but the sands shift every day. And so this federal response, I think, is very appropriate.
Hey, is there? I hesitate to even ask because it's probably impossible to know. What's the timetable for this? And what should we mark on our calendar to note on the next big day on Capitol Hill involving the Ball Act?
Well, we hope that it gets a hearing soon. We're going to continue to educate members of the Congress about what this bill does, what it doesn't do, and get support from it. But certainly the chairman, this bill goes to the Judiciary Committee. The chairman's, Jim Jordan, is largely supportive of it. And so we're going to keep gathering support, gaining steam, gaining momentum. And we hope to see some sort of framework on the broader NIL issue this Congress.
Hey, Five, is it tough to get those on Capitol Hill energized about this if they're not a sports fan?
I think so. I think it's education. I mean, everyone's got their strengths and things that they focus on. And so this one's kind of a niche issue. And so that's why it's important to educate members about what it does and why it's important to so many people within their district, families that have students in colleges, the universities that people represent themselves. I think every member probably has a college or university that would be impacted by this. And that's why it's so important and such a national issue.
If you're not involved, you know someone who is for sure. The Ball Act. Yep. Introduced today, Congressman Russell Fry has been our guest. Thanks so much for the time today, and best of luck moving this forward.
Thanks, guys.
Chad, the never-ending NIL world.
Yep, and it's not going to stop anytime soon.
No. Coming up, primary complaint. We air our top grievance of the week straight ahead here on Hot Mic. Sixth and Peabody are located with Yeehaw Beer and Old Smoky Moonshine. Hot Mic, Hunting with Row, Outkick.com/watch is where you can stream the show live. Dan Dockich, also live at Outkick.com/watch. He's in every morning. He'll be with us coming up in a few minutes. Have you been able to take the quiz? I know Chad has.
Yeah.
He took
the conducted the quiz.
He did. I'm doing this for tomorrow's edition.
Yep.
It is episode 121. Five questions, 5 minutes a day. You can play, share, and listen at thequiz.fox. It's thequiz.fox. Chad, the country with the most World Cups. That's one of my questions I have for tomorrow.
Should I spoil the answer? Because I think I know it.
Yeah, you can.
It's Brazil.
Ahead. It is Brazil.
Yeah.
It is Brazil. One of the questions today on the quiz, for instance, it's five questions, 5 minutes per day. Who was the United States' first Secretary of State? I know this one.
First Secretary of State. Secretary of the Treasury was Alexander Hamilton.
So you have John Quincy Adams, Thomas Jefferson, Henry Clay, or James Madison. I'm certain of this if we were doing this.
Say the options again.
John Quincy Adams.
Yeah.
Thomas Jefferson, Henry Clay, James Madison. First Secretary of State for the United States.
Thomas Jefferson?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
100%.
I know a lot of this through the musical Hamilton that my daughter listens to all the time. So I was like, yeah, I know Jefferson's a big part of that musical. So pretty big part of our
country,
too.
Try to go five
too.
For five. Check out thequiz.fox and then play, share, and listen. You can check out the podcast tomorrow at thequiz.fox. Download that podcast wherever you get your audio. Chad, we're not complaining about going two for two on those questions
so
far.
No, absolutely not. But or any trivia contest.
We are pissed off for greatness. It's time for primary complaint.
It's time to air our top grievance of the week.
You can complain all you want.
My job is so unfulfilling.
Don't run away from your feelings.
It's time for Hot Mike's primary complaint.
Guys, my primary complaint this week, imagine the setting. Going into a restaurant, you have made a reservation. You check in. You're 5 minutes early, really. No one's there. Maybe 10 tables, and I'd say roughly 50 tables are available. And they say, okay, it'll be a few minutes while we prepare your table. What's going on here? I made a reservation. You're preparing my table. You know I'm coming, and the restaurant's practically empty. I understand the whole staff thing. Like, you want to have certain sections that are full. And then I'm seated right next, like, elbow to elbow with another table.
Oh, no.
In a wide-open restaurant. That's my primary complaint.
That's a good one. And preparing the table, is this thing going to take off into outer space?
No.
What preparations need to be made for this table? Just get a table, get some silverware down, get a water glass out there, and put me away from the general public.
Yes.
And away from other people.
Spread us out a little bit.
Yeah, not in someone's lap when there's a wide open restaurant. I'm totally with you on that. My primary complaint this week. So if I were to tell you guys that an adult human wanted to sleep in a baby's crib that was larger because they felt safe or secure in the
crib.
They
identify that way.
You would say that person's a psychopath,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Crib,
all right.
Yes.
Yeah, a crib, absolutely a psychopath. You know what's even more psychotic than that? The fact that I'm being advertised for adult humans that want to sleep in an oversized doggy bed. Yes, this is a thing. See why millions of pros call us their best-kept secret. Join today to access exclusive pro pricing plus more benefits for a giant dog bed for adults and pets to nap in together. This is psychopathic material. The fact that there's a product for this pisses me off. The fact that I'm being targeted now in my algorithm on Facebook is another reason for me to not spend much time on Facebook, which, don't worry, Meta and Mark Zuckerberg, I haven't been spending much time on your platform before, but you just guaranteed that I will not moving forward. This oversized doggy bed for humans is my primary complaint.
Now, wasn't it a Japanese man, by the way, he's a man, who identifies as a dog.
A merman.
He's walked like a dog. He has a $16,000 or $20,000 dog suit. I mean,
Davey, it was a whole thing.
We did it for Let's Get Weird. I can't remember the guy's name, but yeah, he had spent tens of thousands of dollars on this homemade
Chad,
dog
I wonder
suit.
If at the algorithm you were looking at this link or something, and it's got you tracked on this.
No, I think what it is Chad secretly wants to tell us he's a furry.
Yeah, apparently it's that. But if you look at next to it, it's like it's something for like a home, like a deck. So that would be more in line, like home improvement stuff. If you keep scrolling the ads, you'd see next to it.
My Little Pony's next up.
I mean, a giant dog bed for adults and pets.
I must say, it does look comfortable.
If the dog wants to jump in your bed, I think that's a little weird, whatever.
There's the idiot. There's the man inside of a dog costume for $16,000.
Freaky.
Look at the claws. I mean, it's like a bear? Like bear claws? Has this dude seen a dog before?
Yeah. Well, this guy jumped all over that offer. 30% off.
Oh, yeah. He's sleeping in a cage,
the
man.
Human dog bed. He was all about it.
He's crated. Kidding me?
Fully nestled into that bed. Right now, as we speak,
who sleeps like
soundly.
That? Dude?
I don't know what time it is in
is
Japan.
Is it a woman
right
or man? I can't tell.
It could be a time to sleep.
Who sleeps like this? Actually, the bed.
I don't
not,
think he's asleep.
The bed's not large enough.
Oh, you're talking about the
yeah. The bed's not large enough for the bed or for the person. So it's like it's made to look comfortable, but you can see the legs are like.
It's a tiny woman that's in it, and she's curled up. Yeah. And it does not look very big.
It's like a woman that's doing like the disappearing act for a magician.
Hard but pass. It's also just kind of gross, the whole thing.
How much was this?
I'm anti. I don't know, Dave. You can click on that link and find out.
Yeah, head
out.
Over to Wayfair and see why millions of people are sleeping in dog
beds. I started to click on it, and it was
millions of people.
I've had a bad run this week of clicking on things, and it's asking me for my sign-in to see it, and I don't either know or don't have a sign-in.
Don't have one?
I think I clicked on that, and it was like, what's your Wayfair sign-in?
Yeah, maybe this is
before
Russia.
I give you it,
this is
I was Russia. Trying to click on it to give you a better picture of it.
Fake news in you with built for businesses, it says. CNG home. Giant dog bed.
I think
for
Russians
men.
Are better than this, honestly.
The dog
I
beds.
Don't think Russians sleep in the same bed
Save
with their
the
dog.
Japanese.
You know what Russians do? They kill their dogs. That's what they do.
they eat them
in the winter.
They wear their claw around their neck.
Because they have to. Do you see a lot of Russians that have pets? No, you don't. You don't see that in Russia. Davey?
Guys, my primary complaint, we've talked a lot about the roast of Tom Brady. I'm always down for a good roast. But the people that are upset with the jokes, especially people in the sports media landscape, and they're wanting to try and belittle people that found these comments, these jabs, to be funny. I don't understand it. I can't be friends with these people. It's aggravating. Even the people are like, there's several articles about Tom Brady's 9/11 joke. Listen, that was a very clever setup for how he described Drew Bledsoe getting hurt. It's clever. There's intelligence behind these jokes. I get that they might be offensive to some people, but I don't give a damn. It's funny. Live with it. And just I'm really hoping we actually get more of these roasts because I had a great time.
This makes me appreciate Kim Kardashian for once, where she can sit there and take the heat about, you know, her sex video with Ray J while, you know, Reggie Bush is getting roasted or whoever. And just, you know, doesn't react like Giselle.
About Kim Kardashian? And I don't think that she did this, but Netflix did. If you go back and watch the Tom Brady roast today, they edited out. The only thing they edited out were the boos of her. When they announced her, she got booed by the crowd at the forum
they
for being
the
there, and they took out the boos. It was a big story yesterday. And they even say at the beginning, some of this content was edited from its live form to what you're going to see now. And the only thing they took out when people watched were the boos of Kim Kardashian.
So they would edit that for Kim, but not anything for Giselle. It's awesome. What did Brady get paid to do this?
I don't know.
That's a great question. I've not seen anything be leaked or
what did we,
released
what would
about
we guess?
That.
Because Kelsey got $20 million to do the COVID. He did the COVID commercial.
Well, Kelsey's in a new show now that's coming out on Hulu.
I'm saying, like,
acting in a show.
If you get from Pfizer, if you get $20 million to do the commercial, what do you think Brady received to do?
It's amazing that he got $20 million for that.
Yeah.
Ad? Wow. He got a lot. I don't know what, but I'm sure he got a lot.
Once I know Dan's there, we'll go. I don't know if Dockage is there yet or not. Brady paid for roast. Let's look at this real quick. Well, guess. I'm going to say $15 million.
I'm going to say $5
million. I don't think Brady would do it. Brady doesn't look doesn't dress up in all black for $5
million. He made the comment about $20 million for I would have just told the NFL I did it if they would have just given me the $20
million
in regards to the
fines.
$20 million,
I would have done it, yeah.
Maybe invested whatever it was.
That he deflated the ball.
The FTX or whatever he bought. Dan Dockett's coming up next here on Hot Mic.
If you followed me throughout the years, you know I'm a South Dakota girl at heart who grew up in a ranching family. And I know that America First isn't just a political movement. It's a kitchen table issue, quite literally. I always support American family-owned companies, ranchers, and farmers who put high-quality meat products on the tables of their fellow Americans. And my friends at Omaha Steaks are the experts. With Father's Day right around the corner, what better to give dad than the experience of world-class Omaha Steaks with the deluxe Father's Day gift for just $89.99. This package includes a mouth-watering assortment of dad's grilling favorites like Omaha Steaks Butcher's Cut Top Sirloins, juicy boneless pork chops, deli-style gourmet jumbo franks, and their legendary Omaha Steaks burgers. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code OUTKICK at checkout to order the deluxe Father's Day gift and get 4 additional burgers absolutely free. That's 24 unforgettable entrees for just $89.99 when you use promo code OUTKICK at checkout. Get quality steaks for the fathers in your life. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code OUTKICK and get the deluxe Father's Day gift plus 4 free burgers today.
Sixth and Peabody, our location. Yeehaw Beer, Old Smoky Moonshine's, Hot Mike with Hutt and Withrow. Here at outkick.com/watch is where you can find Don't At Me with Dan Dockage, weekday mornings as well. And the man, Dan Dockage, joins us here on
Danny,
Hot Mike.
Danny D.
What a jersey. What are you wearing here?
That's an amazing Pacers jersey.
I'm wearing my number 11 on the front, number,
nice.
Number one on the back, I think. Hey. I don't know. They sent it to me a few years ago, and I'm kind of really into this series. I'm like, in fact, if they win or if they get to a game 7, I'm going to go tell my wife, we're going to go to New York. We're going to go to game 7 in the Garden. We're going to mortgage our house to go, but we're going. I've never really been, and I've always wanted to be at a big game in the Garden.
Man,
I've called some, but those are college, not NBA. So that's what we're doing, man. I'm all in on this series.
I'm glad you said you're all in, because I long for the days of Reggie Miller against, you know, the Patrick Ewings and that series, you know, like the
Miller's talking his trash too before this series.
It sucks
about
though,
the Knicks history.
You still need the old school. I say old school, our era player guys to get me hyped on the NBA right now.
Yeah, you know, Reggie Miller is calling himself the boogeyman. He's going to be there. You know, it's weird. It's really weird what's going on with the NBA. Like, you know, Isaiah and Jordan are still going back and forth. Barkley and Jordan. I mean, it's like, and Reggie Miller's going to talk smack. And they've already had this series, like going back a few years. They met to go to the Eastern Conference Finals. It was a hell of a series. And I don't know what's different about this, fellas. I'm just kind of fired up. I wasn't that fired up for the other one. I'm like, all right. But I don't know. This one feels different. Maybe us here in Indianapolis, we like this team more than we liked other teams. I don't know, but it's a lot of fun.
Did you guys see what Jordan said about this year's Lakers team against his Bulls team?
No.
And who would win? He said we would win by a couple of points. And the follow up was like, why only a couple? You're like, just a couple? He's like, yeah. We're all nearly 60 or in our 60s now. Yeah. But I mean, yeah. I just love the response and the confidence of that era. Dan, you mentioned you're all in on the series. Chad and I, we were listening to your show. Was it last week in studio on the whole Caitlin Clark, Greg Doyle debacle, and what he's already apologized multiple times. Whatever. I said yesterday, I was surprised that they pulled his credential from the paper itself. Were you surprised?
Yeah, I'm really surprised. I mean, the paper's going down, but Doyle told me in the past, and you know, they can't do anything to me because I'm the only reason people read this paper. That's what he told me. It's point blank. And I know Ned Newell, who's the head of the sports department, scared to death of Doyle. They don't have much leadership there because, frankly, they don't have many people there. They got a lot of DEI hires. But I'm not sure. I want to, you know, nobody's been able to, other than the paper confirmed that Doyle wasn't going to be doing the games. I don't know if the WNBA pulled it. I don't know if the Fever said no. I'm not really sure. It sounds like the Stars said no. But I'll tell you one thing about this. Now, as some people say, well, you know, he should be allowed. I don't care either way. It doesn't matter to me. But I will tell you this. Caitlin Clark could have saved the day for Doyle. You guys know this. Had she said, yep. Hey, look, this is no big deal. Even when it happened, right? I thought it was funny. You know, it's different. But, man, she didn't do that. And she hasn't, I'm hearing, even thought about doing that. Neither did her family. And they were on the lookout from what I've been told. Now, who knows what's true, what's not. Only Caitlin and her family know. But I was told they were on the lookout for him. Like, hey, be careful of this guy. Not from a he's going to be creepy guy, but he's just going to be creepy, actually, and crush you if he can. I don't know whether that's true, but I was told that by a source that I pretty believe. Regardless of why, they were on the lookout for him. And I'll tell you what. Nobody, whether it's the Fever, nobody, whether it's Caitlin Clark, her mom or dad or agent, nobody came to the defense except Doyle's girlfriend. There's a lady named Candace Buckner who writes for the Washington Post. She dated Doyle when they both worked at the Star until her family told her she couldn't because he was white. That's Doyle telling me this again. So, you know, she tried to come to his defense. People laughed it off in the Washington Post, and now – it's the first time, I don't know, guys, it's the first time I've ever seen this where a reporter has been banned because of sexual harassment, or I don't even know if you call it that. I don't know why you call it what you call it, from doing a game, for going to a game. Can't even, you know, report on it from the gym. It's very odd.
Yes, it's just bizarre, Chad.
There's a couple other bizarre things we got to get to around the world of basketball, too. One happening there with the Pacers-Bucks series. Dan, I can't help but kind of laugh when Patrick Beverley on his podcast talks about that incident where he throws a basketball off a woman's head and then chucks it at another guy after that. And he says, yeah, but, you know, I respect the fans so much, I'd never have him kicked out. You know, whatever he said to me, I could have had him kicked out, but I'm not going to do that. You paid your hard-earned money. You won. Winners can talk. I'm not going to do that. But what I will do, he didn't say this, I'll chuck a basketball at you if you do it, but I'm not going to have you kicked out of the game. What an odd set of circumstances. And then the post game with him kicking the woman out because she wasn't subscribed to his podcast. Nuts, right?
Hey, look, I'm a dad. I know what dads want for Father's Day. That is steak, world-class Omaha Steaks. Dads deserve top-quality American beef, and that's what they'll get with Omaha Steaks Deluxe Father's Day gift. For just $89.99, he'll get mouth-watering Omaha Steaks, butcher's cut top sirloins, juicy boneless pork chops, deli-style gourmet jumbo franks, and their legendary Omaha Steak burgers. Go to omahasteaks.com, use promo code OUTKICK at checkout to order the deluxe Father's Day gift and get 4 additional burgers absolutely free. That's 24 unforgettable entrees for just $89.99 when you use promo code OUTKICK at checkout. Again, that's omahasteaks.com, use code OUTKICK and get deluxe Father's Day gift plus 4 free burgers today. Yeah, you know, I first learned of Patrick Beverley when I was coaching at Bowling Green. He was out of Chicago and committed to my rival Toledo. And a friend of mine in Toledo said, hey, man, this is absolutely a great player who will never end up in Toledo. Somebody bigger. He ended up at Arkansas. We played against him when I was interim head coach. And true story, Eric Gordon, who's been in the NBA for 100 years, was like the best freshman in the country. I literally think, at the opening tip, Patrick Beverley made Eric crap his pants. I honestly think there was a little bit of Joe Biden in there because Beverley was a bad man. And, like, you know, this is just typical garbage, right? How many times have we seen, yeah, but somebody said this to me, and then we find out it's just simply not true. It happened with the BYU volleyball, with Duke. Hell, it happened Illinois State, Norfolk State. The coach said a racial slur. Everybody, including the player, said, no, it didn't. So, you know, it's kind of par for the course. We've kind of become immune to it, particularly when idiots are involved. But I will say, I just saw this before coming on. The police are going to investigate. The police are going to talk, quote, to all parties on this. So that'll be interesting. But it's always the same thing. Yes, I acted like an idiot, but they said something, quote, crazy. That's the word. Yeah, they said something so crazy that I've never been called before in an NBA arena, but it's still my fault, and I still chucked the ball, and that's nuts. Hey, look, I don't buy none of it. He's been acting like an idiot his entire career. He acted like an idiot at the end of the series. Move along. Nothing to see here, my opinion.
Okay, I mean, I'm looking at this and going, I'm judging this based on the bench reaction. And if it was something so crazy that he had never heard before, the bench, right, that would have turned around and also reacted. And not
absolutely.
Not a similar, but they're just sitting there. They're in a coma, just sitting there with a, you know, they've got a towel over their head. They don't even react to whatever's going on. To me, that just proves what was said or what was not said.
Yeah, maybe what was crazy was, hey, Patrick, I think you're a really nice guy.
Yeah.
Hey, Patrick, I think you're a very handsome, intelligent man. Hey, Patrick, I hope you use that degree or whether you got one or not from Arkansas and you become a rocket scientist. That would be crazy. I don't think, and again, I did the same thing as you. I know this, man. If you're getting crazy with a basketball team and you're dropping, you know,
yep,
the big ones, the bad words, the racial slur words, there is not a guy on that bench, black or white, that's going to sit back there and not and take it. They're going to jump up. Fingers are going to be pointing. People are going to be pissed. Somebody might go in the stands, particularly when you combine that with getting your brains beat out in a series. Yeah, that's why I'm sorry. I wish I'd have said that. I'm glad you did. I noticed that as well. And it was the same thing in a couple of these other instances that I mentioned. It's, you know, again, I've been around basketball teams. I grew up in Gary, Indiana. You drop that big word, it ain't going to be sitting around. I don't give a damn where. You'd be at the opera, and you drop that big word, and man, oh, man, dudes are going to be throwing, and they're not going to care where you at. So I'm with you. The bench didn't react. Patrick Beverley's just being Patrick Beverley.
Chad, imagine him on a roast on Netflix.
Well, it'd be amazing.
That'd be good.
We'll get to the roast of Tom Brady. You know what? We'll get to it right now. I thought it was tremendous, Dan. I thought it was really funny. I'm kind of surprised that Brady took it as well as he did at times. But what did you think about the roast? And what was your favorite athlete coach part of it? Not the paid comedians that are really good at this, but someone who's not a comedian that went up there and delivered.
I think Julian Edelman's really funny.
Yeah.
And I think him going at Belichick, just from a coaching perspective, I learned a couple things in that. Number one, Edelman is funny. And those guys that played for the Patriots are just dudes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're just dudes, and now they get a chance to go back at Belichick. And I thought that was good. I thought, you know, and in an odd way.
And Belichick handled it well, too.
Uncomfortableness. Yeah, he did. He did. I thought the uncomfortableness, and I felt it between Kraft and Belichick, was fun too. You know, it's like, oh, what the hell else are we going to do? You know, I thought Randy Moss wasn't very good, but I'm like, Gronk is Gronk, and, you know, people making fun of him. But I liked Edelman. I really liked him. What did I think about the roast? The other thing I thought was, I swear to God, fellas, now, I thought Brady handled it well. I was told he got paid eight figures. Don't know. I heard you guys talking earlier.
Okay.
While I was in the green room. That's what I heard. I don't know if that's true. But I got to tell you, if Tom Brady weren't like this pretty boy Super Bowl champ, he's a dirtbag. I mean, cheats on his pregnant girlfriend, cheats on his kids because he's cheating on the mother of their kids. Then he goes with Giselle. I don't know what happened there. Maybe he cheated, didn't? I have no idea. He gets involved in a crypto scheme where he's promoting this guy going to jail. He loses $30 million. Who knows how much money people listening to him. He got an illegal PPE loan. He cheated in football, admitted it.
Deflategate.
I mean, damn. I mean, if he weren't – that's what I mean. Yeah, deflategate. If he weren't like Tom Brady – and people looked at this objectively, it hit me right in the middle of it because I didn't know about the PPE loan. I knew about the Monahan lady and he left her pregnant and all that stuff. But I'm sitting there going, this dude's a dirtbag. I mean, if you did that, if I did that, if Clay did that, if anybody, you know, it would be like, damn, son, get your life in order. But with Tom Brady, it's like, oh, he's so pretty. Oh, he's such a good quarterback. Oh, he's got those rings. Don't worry about what he stole, what he's cheated, who he's cheated on. Damn. good for Brady. He's got everybody fooled, but I thought it was freaking awesome. Well, I don't know if I could have handled all that because they went deep on Brady.
Yeah, they did. The only thing, and I heard Nikki Glaser in an interview talk about this, the only thing they did not go after were his kids in any way. And like the kissing on the mouth of his son from that documentary. They said that people wanted to put that in there, but they all decided like, yeah, let's not mention anything about his kids, which was the right decision.
And no one went after Kraft other than that
but
one, right?
You're right, Dan. There's so much fodder there for comedy and to go after him. It's why I think the only guy that would make sense now that could be as good would be Tiger Woods. If you paid him a ton of money.
I agree.
To get roasted would be hilarious with what they could go after Tiger Woods about.
I agree. I think that I don't know if you put it out or Guns or both put it out, Tiger Woods. I was thinking about it, and I didn't come up with him. And then I saw it from from Outkick. I saw it. I'm like, man, is that right? I mean, because you can go scumbaggy. You can go greatness. You can go you can go anything you want with Tiger Woods, you know, wives or girls. You know, it would just be awesome. Now, I got to tell you, though, I would be curious how many guys in that kind of position, and there's not that many, how many guys were sitting there going, oh, hell no. Hell, I don't care what they pay me. I got enough money. I ain't doing that. Nuh-uh. Hey, fellas, you know this. That's forever. On Netflix forever. That ain't going anywhere.
Think about Tiger's on a different shelf, but think about Jerry Jones or Brett Favre doing that.
Oh, yeah.
There's plenty of ammo there, too, you could go at.
Well, there was a Brett Favre joke Tom Brady.
From Brady.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to have a certain level of reverence or likability. And regardless of what Tiger Woods did or what, you know, Brady did, they have maintained that. You know what I mean? I don't know if Jerry Jones has enough on the upside or Favre on the – let's say that here's the line – down here is unlikability, up here is likability. I don't know if either of those has enough up here that would make it anything other than, you know, just a typical roast. I don't know. But I got to tell you, man, I don't want that Nikki Glaser ever roasting me or that guy Hinchcliffe. I don't want them near me. Those two guys, those two people, man. They cut your heart out, those two dudes.
Nice shoes, bitch. Was his first line to Tom Brady, which was amazing. Did you win those in the divorce? That guy was awesome. Hey, I got to ask you because you're the perfect person to ask considering you were right next to someone during a famous moment when someone threw something on the court during a game. Your thoughts on Jamal Murray of the Nuggets chucking a heating pad onto the court
and a towel.
Mid-game. And a towel that didn't quite reach the court, but then the heating pad onto the court right after that.
At least Bobby Knight was suspended a game, Dan.
Yeah, well, Knight had a battle for his job. I mean, he had to threaten the AD that if you suspend me longer than a game, I'm quitting, which is really odd to me. But anyway, he got suspended for the Iowa game. People want to say that, you know, the fix is in basketball. Well, I mean, I got to tell you, here's fodder for that. I mean, down 0-2, and a guy throws, as you said, two things on the – hey, wait a second. This one didn't catch the ref's attention, so let me throw this one on there. Like, what the hell? You got to suspend him if you're a – I don't know if you're a reputable league. I didn't want him suspended because I want to watch that series and I want Jamal Murray playing. But honest to God, you know, remember like this sign here, the three sign or whatever? Some dude got suspended from Wrigley Field forever, for life, for making this sign, which I don't know what it means. And this guy throws two things. So we said today on my afternoon show, all right, Pacer fans, Friday, they're going to give you a T-shirt. Throw that bad boy on the court and see what happens. And then if it doesn't get the attention, throw your wives on the court and see what the hell happens. You'll be banned for life.
Yeah, I mean, you're ejected immediately.
You had to suspend him. It's crazy. And, here in Indy, after a couple of the calls late, in the Pacer game, you know, we're suspect anyway, right? We're like, hey, wait a second here. What's going on? And now you look at this, and I just don't see – I'm glad they didn't, but I don't see how you didn't suspend them. I don't get it.
Dan,
not at all.
If the fix is in, your Pacers don't stand a chance.
No chance. Who the hell cares about Indy other than Caitlin Clark fans? No, we got nothing. New York City, the Garden, a game – Gainbridge is a great arena. It is. And I think it was voted the number one NBA arena. But who really cares about that? Nobody. No, the fix is in. We're done. If it's not in, I think the Pacers are the better team.
That'll be a column by Greg Doyle when he's off suspension 3 weeks from now.
That's right. when they finally allow him back.
Dan, appreciate you as always, man.
He comes back Monday.
Oh, he's back Monday.
Okay, that's covering,
good. Got it.
Covering the Arena Football League or what?
Yeah, here. Well, what happened was Bob Kravitz, who did his job previous, was like, Doyle hasn't tweeted. He didn't write about Caitlin Clark. He didn't write about the Knicks. What's going on? So he called his buddies at the Star where he worked, and that's how the whole thing broke. So I guess the 2 weeks is over on Monday. That's what I heard.
Back to work.
Dan, you're always at work, my man. Thank you so much. Always bringing the energy.
Love
appreciate
working
it.
With you.
See you guys.
See you, Dan.
Thank you, guys. See ya.
Dan Dockett.
Dan the man. Danny
Don't
D.
Don't at me with Dan Dockett.
Kind of like Danny D. I want that nickname to stick.
Yeah.
Danny D.
Chad, we're back at it tomorrow.
Yes, we are.
Thursday edition. Chad's weekend begins tomorrow.
The weekend.
4 p.m. Eastern is when we
start. The weekend that matters. My weekend begins tomorrow.
For Hot Mike with Honey Withrow. See you then.